The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Hey, this morning about fulfilling your destiny. Not sure how far I'm going to get with this message this morning, but we've had a lot going on already this morning. It's exciting. I praise God that He's stirring the hearts of His people. Glory. And we're going to see some revival take place. We've got our Fresh Oil and New Wine services coming up the end of next month. And I want you to be prepared for that. We're going to have set aside some prayer and fasting time, some prayer time. We're going to get ourselves in a position to receive from the living God. I believe we need stirred. I believe we need a renewed anticipation of what God wants to do for Bethel Worship Center and with Bethel Worship Center. I need that. You know, my message this morning, I want you to understand something, that I'm really preaching this message for me. You can listen if you want, but it's for me. You know, in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 30, there's a story about the King David. And King David, he had defected, at least the Philistines thought he had, defected from Israel to the Philistine side. And what he would do was during the day, he and his band of warriors would go off from the town that they lived in, which was Ziklag. And they would leave that town and they would go out, and instead of raiding Israel's land, they would raid the Philistine land. And they would go into little towns and villages and wipe the Philistines out. And the Philistine king was just oblivious to what was really happening. He didn't know. So David was probably the first spy, I guess, double agent that we would ever read about. Because the Philistines thought he was working for them, and he was actually working for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Almighty God in Israel. But one day while he was out doing this, they were out raiding villages. They came back home, and guess what? Their village had been raided. Their families had been taken. None of them was killed. They didn't destroy them, but they destroyed everything else in the village. They burned it with fire. When they came back, there was nothing. Now, I want you to think about this. Think about the situation that he was in. He had been going out doing what he felt God wanted him to do. He was doing warfare against the enemy. And he was defeating the enemy on a daily basis. And now he comes back. And where is God? Why didn't God keep his family? Why didn't God protect the village while he was gone? Would you have asked that question? I would have. Come on, we're real. We got to know. David probably thought in his mind, God, why did you let this happen? I can tell you for sure his men did, because they wanted to stone David. They blamed David for it. But here's the thing that really encourages me. Because I go through those situations, and I'm trying to do what God wants me to do, and it seems like all hell's breaking loose all over the place. Things are falling apart instead of building up. But here's what David did. The Word of God says David encouraged himself in the Lord. Isn't that incredible? He encouraged himself in the Lord. Now, I want to tell you something. I've heard some inspiring messages in my lifetime. Some things that just made me want to get up and shout and run around, go out and take the world for Jesus Christ. But you cannot, and I cannot, rely on other people to inspire me to do the will of God. We have to do what David did. Encourage ourselves in the Lord. This was an extremely difficult time for him. He had lost his whole family. Now, here's something that happened in this situation. You know, I would have probably immediately said, mount up, men, we're going after them. That's not what David did. David, first he encouraged himself in the Lord, and then he went before the Lord and asked God what to do. This is a good lesson for us. You know, the logical thing would have said, let's get on our horses and go after the enemy. They have our families. And many times we have to use logic when we are in ministry. We have to do the logical thing. But let me tell you something. More often than not, we need to hear what God has to say rather than use our logic. Logic will get you in trouble sometimes. So David went before the Lord and he said, is it okay to go after him? And God said, yes. You know what that did? That gave David assurance that when he went after the enemy, that he was going to win the battle. He knew he was going to win. He knew that when he went after them, he was going to get his family. They were going to be intact. And everything that was taken from them, they were going to receive back. And not only did they receive back what was taken, they took more. They came out ahead. So I want to tell you this morning, when you're in a battle, we're in a difficult time, and you need to encourage yourself in the Lord. Encourage yourself like this. Recognize that you are in this battle so that you can come out ahead. So that you can come out on the other side with more than you started with. God is with you. God wants you to be encouraged that you are going to win this battle. You can go. Yes, the enemy has taken some things from you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to take from you. But you are a child of the Most High God. The King of Kings is your Lord. You are His child. Therefore, you must know that you are going to go forth, you are going to take back what is taken from you, and you are going to get more than you had before. Hallelujah. That's what I'm standing on this morning. See, I'm telling you, I'm encouraging myself in the Lord right now. Amen. Praise God. I'm glad you can come along with me, but I'm encouraging myself in the Lord. I need it. I need to know that my God is a big God. Yes. I need to proclaim Him as my King and my Lord. I need to be able to say that it doesn't matter what weapon the enemy has formed against me. It shall not prosper. And every tongue that rises against me, it shall be condemned. Hallelujah. I need that. Hallelujah. It's the Word of God. It's the strength of God. You see, that's how David encouraged himself. He knew the Word. He knew exactly what the Word of God said. In fact, he wrote a lot of the Word. He penned it. And he put it in psalms and hymns so that we can sing it. Glory! Our God is a mighty God. Our God is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So this morning, as I move into this message, I want you to understand this message is a message that should encourage you to fulfill your destiny. But the reason I'm preaching it is to encourage me to fulfill my destiny. Is that okay?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Listen, when it comes to understanding what God wants, His timing is very important. That's why David went to the Lord and said, is it okay to go? And God said, yeah, go and go now. Take your men and go. Get your stuff back and get your families. Obedience to God's timing. When God speaks, that's why we as a church must recognize that God has a timing for everything. We don't want to miss that timing. I've told you many times in the past that God has told me to stay the course. We've seen some lean times. We've seen some difficult times. But God keeps speaking in my ear, stay the course. Stay the course. Stay the course. And it's hard sometimes. It was hard for David to stay the course when his men said, we want to kill you. Look, it's your fault that we're even here. It's your fault that our families have been taken away. It's your fault. And David encouraged himself in the Lord. And he waited on the Lord. And he heard what God had to say. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 through 8, everyone's familiar with that scripture where it talks about there's a time for everything. Yep. Time for everything. In fact, I think in the late 60s there was a song that was made about that particular scripture. Time for everything. Maybe Mamas and Papas, I think, maybe. turn, turn. Yeah, turn, turn, turn. Yeah, that's right. Turn, turn. Was it? It was great. Season for everything. Wow. We know it. We know that there is. And yet sometimes we get off track because we don't want to wait on the season that God has in store for us. I got to tell you, I'm impatient. And I've been hearing from God, and people in this congregation have heard from God. God has some great things in store for us. But sometimes you just get impatient. You say, okay, God, where is it? Where are you? Is it okay that I'm real with you this morning, how I'm feeling about things? Amen. What are you doing, God? I am trying to serve you. And it was the Amalekites that came into and destroyed David's camp. And what I say, you know, what I'm thinking in my mind at times is that, God, I'm trying to serve you. Why is the enemy able to take so much territory? Well, I can tell you this, it's not God's fault. Okay? And I'm not going to blame God. I don't want any of us to blame God. I want us to stand fast on the Word of God and recognize that God, yes, the enemy has taken some territory, but God is saying, just go. He's saying, go now. Time is right. Accomplish what I want you to accomplish. Go take back the land. Go take back your possessions. Go take back all that was stolen from you and get even more. It's time. I believe it's time. And this morning, as we talk about fulfilling the destiny, I want you to understand that God has a destiny for you to fulfill as a part of Bethel Worship Center and in your individual life. He has a calling and a destiny for you to accomplish. And it's more than you can imagine. It's greater than you think it is. It's above and beyond your own expectations. Let's look at Matthew. Matthew chapter 14. Verse 22 is where we're going to begin. It says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Now that's all. We're just going to start right there with that scripture. Immediately Jesus told his disciples, get in the boat and go to the other side. Now, it's interesting that when I think of a boat, I think of a small John boat. You know, that you'd put in a pond or maybe even in the river. People used to use John boats to row across the river to go to work and use them in the river all the time. They're not very big, so it doesn't take much to capsize them. However, the boat that we're talking about here was probably about 25 and a half feet long and 7.5 feet wide. It was a pretty good size. It would hold up to 15 people plus the people that were rowing, four people rowing, and a helmsman. So it would hold up to 20 people. It was a pretty good size ship. And the reason they know this is that one was found on the Sea of Galilee on the shore buried in the mud, and it was dated about the time of Christ. So this is what that boat was like. So it was a pretty good size boat, but yet, you know, it wasn't huge. And Jesus said, get in the boat, and for all those 12 disciples, there was plenty of room for them to get in the boat and start on the other side. It is very, very important that we use this principle right here to recognize that if we are going to accomplish anything for Jesus Christ, we have to get in the boat. You've got to hear what he has to say and get on board. If you're not on board, if you're not on board with this church, you're not on board with the kingdom, you're not on board with what God is doing in this area, you're just going to be left out. You got to get on board before you're going to be able to accomplish the destiny that Jesus Christ has for you. You got to step in the boat and be a part of the workings of the Holy Spirit, and be willing to do whatever it is that God calls you to do. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, it says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not faint." So we get in a boat, but sometimes when we get in a boat, things just don't happen exactly the way we want them to. We have to recognize that getting in the boat, taking a step into what God wants you to step into, you might have some preconceived ideas of the way things should be. You don't know how many people that I talk to, how many young men and sometimes young women that are entering into the ministry, and they have the wrong expectation of what ministry is going to be like. They think that ministry is all fun and games. It's all about standing up in front of people and preaching and telling them, giving them a piece of your mind. They fail to recognize the pain that goes along with being in ministry. And I'm talking about full-time ministry as a pastor, or, you know, maybe not even full-time, but leading a church as a pastor, or even an elder or a leader of a church. There are great many painful times in ministry. Now, I'm not trying to discourage anybody. If you feel like God has called you into ministry, I want you to know that there is much reward for being in ministry and following God. But you have to be realistic about it. You have to realize what it is all about. It's work. The Bible is very clear that if you're going to be a leader, if you're going to be the head, you're going to be the servant of all. It's very, very clear on that. So it's very important that we see that we have the right kind of expectation of the ministry or whatever it is that God is calling you to. Recognize that there's going to be some difficult times ahead, but that should not stop you from moving into the boat, stepping into the boat. You got to step into the boat. The word here that where it says that Jesus told them to get into the boat, it really, the Greek word means to dispatch. In general, to impress into service. It's used of compelling a person to go a second mile. So it's more than just, he said, get in the boat. Jesus was pressing them to get in the boat, to go to the other side. And here's what we got to understand, that Jesus Christ, your Lord and your Savior, will press you to move forward in His kingdom. He'll press you. He'll encourage you. He'll do everything He can to get you to do what He wants you to do in the kingdom. He'll move you forward. But you are a free moral agent, and you don't have to do it. And many people choose not to. I can tell you the churches are filled this morning, Sunday morning, with people who are not really in the boat. That's right. They're walking alongside the boat. They're waving at the people in the boat. They're acting like they're in the boat. Or they may be in the boat and the boat's still on the shore. I'm not sure about that with some of them. But the reality is there are thousands of people that God has called to get in the boat and get out on the water, and they're not doing it. It's disobedience. You know what the Bible calls that? Sin. And we don't want to be in a position like that with our God. When God speaks to us, we want to hear. We want to get in the boat with Him. If we believe what Galatians says about sowing and reaping, we will hear what God has to say and we'll do what He wants us to do. Galatians says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Galatians 6, 7. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Verse 8 says, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap life everlasting. You see, if we can really catch hold of this, these principles in these scripture of what it means to sow into the kingdom, it means that in this particular instance that I'm talking about, it means that you're going to sow yourself. You're going to step into the ministry and the calling that God has for you. That you're willing to step into that boat and be willing to move out into deep water, into some scary places. But the word is very clear. Don't faint because you will reap in due season. But you know what? You have to sow. Have you ever seen a farmer standing out in his field? Someone say to him, what are you doing? Oh, I'm waiting on my corn to grow. Did you plant corn? Well, no, but I'm waiting on my corn to grow. He'll be waiting a long time, isn't he? In fact, first of all, a farmer wouldn't stand out there and wait for his corn to grow. He would plant it, and if he's smart, he'll pray over it, and then he lets God bring the increase. That's why it's important that we recognize that when we are doing these things, that we are sowing ourselves into the kingdom of God, and we have to sow in order to reap. All of us want to reap. Everybody wants to reap. We want to reap good families. We want to reap finances. We want to reap happiness and joy, understanding. We want to reap all these things. But we fail to sow properly. So we have to sow into it. Not everybody. Now listen, I want you to understand. I don't believe that everybody is called into full-time ministry. In fact, I'm just not sure what full-time ministry really is, other than God's people who are trying to do the full work of the ministry. You know, I'm paid a full-time salary. I guess that's where it is. I receive my living from being the pastor of this church, which is wonderful, and I praise God that I'm able to do that. But, you know, we divide these things up. We divide laity and clergy and ministers and apostles and prophets, and we put titles on people. And the Bible's very clear that there are fivefold ministry, and those people should be honored in their position. However, those people, Pastor Rob Barber is no more powerful, no more anointed than every person sitting in this church, if you will walk in it. And that's the difference. You've got to walk in your power and your anointing. God calls every person. And you have been called to a specific purpose. And He's asking you to get in the boat. I'm asking you, get in the boat. Get in the boat today. Make a commitment that you're going to get in the boat. There's a guy that in the mid-1800s was a very, very well known. And he would preach. His name was John Campbell, I believe. Let me make sure I get that right. Chapman was his name. His name was John Chapman. And he is credited with saving more Native Americans than almost anybody else who ever preached to the Native American people. Now, he was very famous during his time, and he's still famous today. However, one of the other things that he did was something that we know more about him for. And that was, he went in this part of the country, Pennsylvania, Ohio, West Virginia, and he planted apple groves. We know him as Johnny Appleseed. Johnny Appleseed, I wasn't taught in school that Johnny Appleseed was an evangelist and knew the Lord and preached the gospel. But he was a very committed Christian. And he went all over this area preaching and teaching the Word of God. And one of the things that made him so appealing to the Native Americans was the fact that he believed in taking care of the environment and planting trees because they were very much into the environment and living with it rather than destroying it. So they respected him. So he preached and he taught the Word of God. But one of the other things that he did was plant those apple trees all over the place. Whatever it is, God has a calling on your life. He may have you planting trees right now. I've planted some trees in my time. But his primary purpose for you is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. To make a difference in other people's lives. That's his desire. That's why we need to be stirred. No matter where we are and what we're doing, no matter what car or what career that we think we have, God's real calling on our life is the gospel. Is to share it, change people's lives, do a work, glorify his name, see people set free. Amen. This is a short message this morning. I got a lot more to share with you in regards to this message. Stand with me.